As headlines go, it does not instantly appear any reason to stop the presses. But this week's leak of hundreds of Iranian intelligence documents, many related to Tehran's meddling in Baghdad, is nevertheless worth a closer look. The documents in question date mostly from circa 2014 to 2015 and come from Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security. They were sent by an anonymous whistleblower to online news site The Intercept, which has since shared them with The New York Times. The big picture revealed by the leak is a familiar one. If anybody could be said to have won the wars ignited across Iraq by the US-led invasion of 2003, it is Iran. The ousting of Saddam Hussein removed Iran's most persistent regional enemy. The subsequent power vacuum allowed Iran into Iraq, and when Iraq eventually elected a post-Saddam government, it was inevitably dominated by representatives of the country's Shia majority, who had been long suppressed under Iraq's overthrown tyranny. This new Iraqi government may have seen their co-religionists in Iran as natural allies and/or protectors, though this would be an extremely charitable view of Iran's machinations. Widespread suspicion persists that Iraq was never given much choice. Iran saw an opportunity to neutralize an historic enemy, expand its regional influence, and infuriate the United States in the process. Similar motivations have underpinned Iran's recent enterprises in Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen.
The United States will pursue additional sanctions to counter the entire range of Iran's malign conduct.
For a regime fond of decrying foreign interference in the Middle East, Iran does an awful lot of foreign interfering in the Middle East. What the leaked documents do cast new light on is some of the tradecraft of infiltrating and suborning a foreign government and the extraordinary degree to which Iran has been successful in this endeavor where Iraq is concerned. Among many other things, we learn that Iraq's present Prime Minister, Adil Abdel Mahdi, had what Iran thought of as a special relationship with Tehran during his previous role as Minister of Oil, that former Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi was willing to establish a relationship with Iran's intelligence services, and that Lieutenant General Hatem al-Maksousi, then Iraq's military intelligence chief, told an Iranian counterpart that his command was entirely at Iran's disposal. These are very far from the only such revelations. There's also some delectable detail of the often farcical reality of espionage. Meet the Iraqi CIA source codenamed Donny Brasco, clearly an adaptable sort. When the US scaled back its presence in Iraq in 2011, Donny Brasco's American handlers thanked him for his service with a severance package of $20,000 and a car. Upon which Mr. Brasco then shopped what he'd learned about American operators and safe houses to the Iranians, who conferred upon him the disappointingly prosaic cipher of Source 134992. At least the Americans sounded like they were enjoying their work. What we learn overall, or if you like, have confirmed, is that Iraq is a remarkably easily bought client state, and that Iran is a country with no real friends, merely such lackeys as it can hire or bully. None of this reflects terribly well on anybody involved, but then whoever leaked the documents wouldn't have leaked them if it did, and that right there might be the most interesting part of this. Since last Friday, demonstrations have been reported in several Iranian cities, apparently sparked by a spike in petrol prices. Protests of any sort are significant in Iran. Given the brutality with which authorities habitually react to challenge, nobody who takes to the streets of any Iranian city is under any illusions about the risks they are running. If there was any doubt that the regime is rattled by this open dissent, it was vanquished by the regime's decision to shut down Iran's internet, which still appears to be off as we go to air. According to The Intercept, the original recipients of the leaked Iranian intelligence documents, even they don't know the identity of their source, and if observing, one of the key rules of journalism, wouldn't reveal it if they did. But they and we can infer that it was someone who has decided that they are less frightened of the Iranian regime than the Iranian regime would prefer. The moment at which it turns out that a plurality of people feel the same way is often a tricky one for those in charge. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.